leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. They actually sang that at Mass. Can you believe that? Absolutely incredible. Thank God we've evolved beyond all that silliness. But the fact that anyone had it in their mind to actually sing that at Mass points to a serious problem in our understanding of the event of the Ascension. No wonder, then, that some Christians have tried to explain it away as a mythological gloss, which is as irrelevant to modern man as Peter, Paul, and Mary. Okay, hopefully I don't have any of their big fans in the church today. Rudolf Bultmann, the famous liberal Protestant biblical scholar, wrote, "No one who is old enough supposes that God lives in a local heaven. If this is so, the story of Christ's ascension into heaven is done for. But if we go back to the scriptures and to the liturgy, we find that there's much more here than meets the eye, than just Jesus in a space spoof written by pre-scientific peoples that a few dupes still believe in the 21st century. What happens to Jesus at the ascension is always described in the biblical text by passive verbs. He is lifted up. He is taken up. He is exalted. The event is not a prodigy by which our Lord, in his human nature, jumps up really, really, really high into the sky. It is an action of the Father, a mighty act of God who brings Jesus unto himself. It's not some kind of cool air show like a divine version of the Blue Angels. From the point of view of Scripture, the interesting thing is not the upward mobility of the resurrected body of Jesus. It's the image of the cloud. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Remember when God brings his chosen people out of Egypt? As they wandered through the wilderness, there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide them to the promised land. The pillar of cloud and fire is the presence of God, but one which is hidden, a mystery, but one in which the people of God are led by the Father. It's a manifestation of his providential rule over the universe. With the ascension, though, God comes back to rule his people through the cloud into which the Lord is caught up. The Lord and his reign are present in the hiddenness of the cloud. We're reminded of those words we say every Sunday in the Creed, where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. The right hand of the Father is not a place, but an image of power, glory, and dominion. Christ shares in the Father's world-encompassing power from the cloud, the image of the mysterious, continuing way in which divinity guides humanity. So how is the cloud of the ascension any different than the cloud of the Jews in the book of Exodus? Well, in Exodus, humanity is still far away from God because of sin. But with the incarnation, God becomes man. And so in Christ, human nature is able to enter into the inner life of God. It means that man has found an everlasting union with God. Heaven isn't a place beyond the stars. Heaven is Jesus himself. Christ, the man who is in God and one with God, is also God's abiding openness to us all. The point is, heaven is not a place, but a person. The divine person of Jesus Christ who shares with us our humanity. We go to heaven and enter into heaven to the extent that we enter into Christ. My hunch is that the apostles who stood there on the Mount of Olives watching this understood what was really going on. If heaven was a place beyond the stars and Jesus was going there and they were left behind, as it were, they would have been sad. Even the Lord's promise to send them a comforter who would come 10 days later in the form of a pillar of fire over everyone, that wouldn't have lessened their sense of loss and sadness, would it? Well, we read in Luke chapter 24, verse 52, "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." The ascension was not a departure. It wasn't a teary goodbye until some vaguely hinted at later. The ascension gave the disciples the certainty that the crucified one was not only alive, but that he had overcome the world and death. He had overcome everything that had cut humanity off from God, and he opened the door to eternal life, a door which would never be closed. Jesus' ascension into heaven is not the beginning of a time of absence. It means that Jesus now definitively and irrevocably participates in his Father's royal power over the earth. That's why the angel rebukes the apostles who remain gazing up into the sky. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The apostles are to realize that the Lord is ceaselessly present through their activity. Inasmuch as the gift of the Spirit and the commission to bear witness, preach, and spread the good news are the way in which Christ is now present to us. The preaching of the gospel is the way in which the Lord, between the ascension and the second coming, gives expression to his rule over the earth. And he reigns through his word, as he is the word uttered forth from the Father before all worlds. While you and I are in this world waiting for the second coming, waiting to be forever with God in heaven, it's not a time for sadness. It's a time for joy. Because Christ, from the cloud of the ascension, sitting at the right hand of the Father, reigns through his word, his church, and his sacraments as surely as he was present to the disciples in Galilee of Judea. It's by our faith, that supernatural gift of faith that God offers to us and we receive with love and joy and confidence. It is by our faith that we pierce the cloud of mystery and are led to begin to take possession of heaven and the kingdom of God, not at some future date, but right now in Christ Jesus, our Lord.